Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I do. Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn them to the third chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for the opportunity to study your word. We pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us in the text, tailor the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear and see and understand what you have designed that we would. Now, God, again, we thank you in advance for all that you shall reveal to us, these principles that we might practice for profit and give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, however you prefer to pronounce his name, in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about next level trust, part two. Next level trust, part two. We dealt with next level trust in the earlier service, our 7 a.m. service. And I just want to give you the principles of next level trust, and you write them down and you'll see them at play in this and other texts that reveal the process of trusting God on various levels. First thing you need to know, that is, trust like faith is now. Now. So you write down now. Next to now, put a hyphen, reality. Because your trust must be in God, a reality, and if you are saved, it took trust and faith to believe in a God you could not see, to believe that what God has spoken, he absolutely means, that he is not a man that he should lie. The reality of your trust in God is already activated. So that's, if you will, a foundational level of trust. That's where you enter in with relationship with him. And just as a babe learns to trust his or her parents, so have we learned to trust God from a early and a base stage of trust. So that has to do with your relationship. But then when you desire to move to another place, to gain more, to gather, and to go to another place in him, you need a new level of trust, or you must be renewed to a further degree of trust in him. In other words, it's not going to be a different trust, it's going to be a new revelation of trust. It's going to be a new dimension of trust. It's the same trust, but it's at another place of trust. So then you renew yourself in that new place so that the same reality of trusting him on the first or beginning level is the same process for trusting him on the next level. And what you begin to operate when you understand the principles is this, that what worked on the base level works on the best level. It is the same process implemented over and over again. And so then thirdly, what you must recognize is the now and the new is what presents you and prepares you and is a prelude to the next level. And let me throw a word out about next, because next is an ongoing level. Whenever you reach next level, there's always a next level. You never reach a level where you can say, I'm comfortable, I quit, this is as high as God wants me to. As long as you're breathing, as long as you're alive, you're going to recognize that God has a next level experience for you that requires trust. But when you reach the next level, there is always a new reward. New reward is always on next level. Say, new reward is always on the next level. Now, when you know this, you will be rewarded for ascending to the next level. God is going to honor your faith and your trust in him and always reward you with what he's either promised you or prepared for you on the next level. Now, keep in mind, this works in every area of faith, every area of trust, every area of your life. Understanding that, I thought it would be helpful to pull out in the biblical context of these principles in a situation that we have heard, read, for our understanding. Now, if you note the story, it starts off with King Nebuchadnezzar, who made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Now, he made this god in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And he sent and gathered all of the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which the king himself had set up. Now, this was something that the king prided himself in and desired. And so this was an issue of the king that he wanted everyone to share and celebrate with him. Verse 3 says, the princes, the governors, and the captains, and all them important people came to that set up celebration. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, listen, nations and languages, which meant this statue that he had set up was to be worshiped without prejudice. He was saying, don't care what your background is, what your color is, what country you come from, or what language you speak, you are commanded to worship my golden image. Now the word says, verse 5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth it shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of these instruments that the king had set up, verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now everyone had heard these sounds. The Jews that had been a part of the king's court and of course of the king's kingdom were also of another nationality and served another god. They were not a part of the king's groupings. They were not a part of the king's special men at this point in time where they served his gods and desired to worship this image that he had set up. They had a conviction about the god they served that, though removed from their homeland, still traveled with them. There are three things I want to share about these men that must be a part of us, especially if we desire to ascend to next level experience. First of all, we have to have a character that pleases God. This is what they had, a character that pleased God. You've got to have a character that pleases God, because in order to trust God, your character must be developed by the content of God's word. In other words, you must recognize that without proper content, you can't produce proper character. And without proper character, you can't produce proper consequences. And you can't have proper consequences unless you've got the proper content. And that's the word of the Lord. And so here these men knew God in an intimate way, and though they were far from their homeland and in another place, they had a character that pleased God. But anyway, not only did they have a character that pleased God, but they had a conviction that would not give in to men. A conviction that would not give in to men. Not only did they not have a conviction that would not give in to men, but they had a commitment that they would carry to death. A commitment they would carry to death. You know, that must be a point and place in your time where you get to the point where you've got the character of God in your life and it is so identical and mirrored to the word of God that reflects God that you have a conviction so deep that even if you are away from the place, you are not away from the principles. In other words, you don't subscribe to the win in Rome. Do as Romans do mentality. You a Christian, whether if you are here in church or whether you're in a place where there are no Christians abiding, your character is the same in the midday as it is in the midnight. You have the character there that builds up again and helps you bring a conviction that is so rooted underneath the skin that you will, listen, it's one thing to slip, it's a whole nother thing to. And when you slip, you break the slip and you catch yourself. How many of you been walking somewhere and hit something and slipped and you caught yourself? Now, you know it wasn't nothing you slipped on. Sometimes it's a bad step. You didn't make a good, solid step, but you're embarrassed because you slipped. You checking your heel and all of that. How many would agree that sometimes you just make a bad step? Now, here is the danger in not owning up to making the bad step. And that's always our desire to want to blame something or somebody else for our slip. So here, these men had a conviction where they were so rooted in God and God in them that being far away from their homeland and place, they still had the presence of God locked in their soul, in their spirit, in their inner man. But then there was something else that drove them, their commitment to God. And you're going to see this outplay in the text. Their commitment was so powerful that they literally told the most powerful man in that kingdom, you know what, we understand that you're the king, but we serve someone who's a little bigger than you are. And we're committed to him. Now, we respect your laws, except when your laws disrespect my God. And so we are committed to our God more than we are committed to this earthly king. And they kept everything in balance. Listen to this, because it's important to know this. They kept everything in balance until the king took things out of balance. Now, notice here, they allowed the worship of various gods because there were a various group of people from various lands, languages, and nations. So the king allowed the worship of many different gods. But here was a time when the king wanted everybody to serve and worship his God. And that's where they brought these men to the forefront of this reality of trusting God on the next level experience. Look at the text because I want you to see again. Now, in verse 8, it reveals some people that are still here today. Their names are changed to protect the guilty. In the text, it says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans. Now, Chaldeans, in modern terms, can be translated as haters. Wherefore, at that time, certain haters came near. If you translate it out, that's exactly what it was. Now, though they were a group of people from Chaldea, the truth of the matter is they were hating on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had watched them. They knew they were men of integrity. They knew they were men of character. They also knew that they did not serve and worship the gods that the king desired and designed. And so they were watching them to see what was going to happen. So they came near, and verse 9 says, they spake
and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, and he goes on with all of that, and he said, whoso falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And my question is, how you know if you bow down? Isn't there some folk who can't take care of their business, but they're always in yours? Now, they were haters because the king, listen at this, had placed these Jews in positions that these Chaldeans didn't obviously have or did not want to see them in. And so they knew they weren't going to bow. So if they did bow, I'm not talking about the Jews, I'm talking about these Chaldeans, they bowed watching them. They weren't worshiping because the word says worship and serve that God. They were not doing that, obviously, because they were watching what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was doing. There are some people right in the Greater King David Church can't even worship on Sunday mornings for watching you. I'm trying to be real with somebody here this morning. Everybody didn't come here to worship God. And the truth of the matter is, while you all in praise and worship of God, you got somebody can't get their minds on God, can't focus on God for watching you and your worship and praise. So they go to the king, and the king hears this story. He is outraged, but he wants to be fair. Note verse 13 says, he says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. The king asked them a question. He says, do not ye serve my gods, little g, plural s, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now look at what he says. He don't even give him a chance to speak. He's like, you know, it's rhetorical because I know y'all misunderstood the instructions. Now look at what he says. Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, we're going to count this as a little misunderstanding. You boys didn't understand that. I understand. It's well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Now, you know, I was all right till he said that. Because he went from challenging Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to challenging the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's one thing for him to see them and think that their God was like his gods and were not powerful enough to defend himself. But he insulted not only the children of God, but the God of the children. Now listen at this. The word says, again, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Said, listen, you know, we don't really have to defend ourselves. If you have a new international version, it'll say something like that. You know what? And this is what I want you to get to. When you begin to trust God and you see God and have experienced God on one level, now I need you to know they are taking in this entire experience next level steps throughout the process. I've given you the process. I want you to listen, though, and I want you to see. Now, where they are, they've trusted God to be. Now, where they are is a place that they are no longer comfortable in staying. So they have to ascend to another place, but that requires trusting God on another level. Now, their lives are at stake for the trust that they are placing in God, and they know that either God is going to show up and do what he said, or they are going to die believing in a God who could not back up his word. Their experiences have all proven that God is not a man that he should lie. Here's what you need to know. If your record with God has already brought you out some stuff you never thought you would have gotten out of, if your history with God has already proven that he can work out stuff you can't even figure out. If you will believe that the same God that kept you and brought you all the way from where you were to where you are right now, cannot this same God do the same thing all over again? And so oftentimes we forget that when we get in straits and our backs are against the wall and we have nowhere to turn, we forget we've been here before. It may have been on a lower level, it may have been in another situation, but it's been the same situation played out all over again. And we forget the principles. And we forget that what he did one time, he can do it again on a whole new level. Now listen at this, because now they're talking to the king. We're not careful. We don't have to defend ourselves. Our God is big enough to defend himself. Look at what verse 17 says. If it be so. If it be so. Now we already know how it's going to turn out, but if it be so, our God, big G, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now look at the boys. The king said, who is that God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in unison say, our God. You don't even need to know his name because you ain't that. He's our God. It's personal. And sometimes you need to make a stand, even in the public, about your personal convictions about your God. Now listen at this. You want to know who he is? He is our God. And look at what he's going to do. He's going to deliver us from the fire that you said would destroy us. But he's not going to stop at delivering us from the fire, but he's also going to deliver us out of your hand. Now, a whole lot of folk don't understand when they say this, that they are speaking prophetically now. Not just about the fire and the furnace situation, but what he's saying literally is that we will no longer be a captive people to you. God's going to take it much further than this situation and deliver his people out of your hand. You see, you got to have the ability to see the bigger picture, not just get out of this situation. Some of y'all talking about, Lord, if I can just pay my rent this month. You ought to trust God to be able to pay your house totally out. See, that's what he did. He didn't just say, Lord, I'm trusting you to get me through this month. He's like, Lord, I'm trusting you to take care of my whole life from here till it's all through. That's the kind of trust God wants you to have in him. Now, notice here again how they say that. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I want you to see, he says, and this is so interesting, verse 18, but if not, you know, because our God don't work on our schedule. And just for those who might not know how he operates, we want to let you know we trust him so much so that if he doesn't know, do it, be it known when? Unto thee, O king, that he we will not serve thy God. In other words, if the Lord don't do another thing for us, when I look back and see where God has brought us from, if he chooses that this is the end, let me tell you, we're not going to switch sides and start serving your little bitty God. Matter of fact, we'd rather go out knowing that the Lord has brought us all the way to this point, and this is as far as he wants us to go, instead of being cowards to switch over and start living and serving these little bitty gods you got around here. Now, that's some powerful talk. Because he's talking to somebody who thinks they can take him out and take all of them out. Look again at what the word says. I like that. But if not, somebody say, but if not. See, that's the next level trust there. They trusted him to tell the king that we've got a king of kings. You want to know who he is? He's able to show up and show out. You'll see him a little bit later. But if he don't show up on our time. We just want to serve notice here today, king, that we're not going to turn cold. And we're not going to enter on your terms and bow down and worship your God. Now listen at this. That's trusting God in a place and in a state of mind where you have already committed to him you. And when you've committed him to you, you're not at liberty to give you to nobody else.
Sorry, King, I belong to the Lord. I can't do it. Even if he don't show up, I can't turn around. I made up my mind. I started in Jesus, and I'm going through. That was the mentality of their conviction. They were faithful to God. Look again. I want you to see this. The word says, verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Why was he full of fury? In verse 13, he had rage and fury. Now he's just full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. You know how folk can give you that look like that's going to make you change your mind? Look at what the word says. Verse 19, and the form of his visage was changed against. So he looked at them with that look like if looks could kill. You know how folk roll their eyes and, you know, bite their lip and look or however that ugly look they give you. And you look at them like, okay. Like, that ain't gonna change my mind because you done just made yourself uglier. Look at this, because I want you to see. He gives a command to heat. Now, he don't know their God, but he uses their God's code. 7. It was by divine intervention, I believe, that he did this. And then he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind. Look at that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now, I want you to see that after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on several levels now have trusted God to that point in place, no more is that trust called into question. The rest of this is on God. So what I'm trying to tell somebody here today is when you do your part and you've done what God has required of you to do, trust that he's going to do his part. There is a point in the process where you must complete your part. And once you complete your part, God will then continue the process by finishing his part. You don't have to doubt that. That's the way he operates. Listen again. The word says, verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Look at them, fully clothed. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men. What men? Those mighty men that were in his army. Listen at this. When the flame slew them, when they threw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And verse 23 says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Now look at this, because this is important. They are thrown in bound, tied all up.
Yes.
All right. Keep in mind, they are cast. They didn't walk in, they were thrown in. The force of them being thrown in, each one, and the men throwing them in, catching on fire, made them release them quick. Not having their balance, they were thrown into a position that should be a normal position for a believer. That's the praying position. Now I want to tell you something, because this is important. I want you to know that though it seems simple, I want you to see the condition and the position, because these are important things to look at. Even in a situation where you are in a fiery situation, you are under attack, and you're all bound up, it still should not prevent you from being able to talk to your God. They are on their knees. They are bound up. They are in a fiery situation, a terrible situation. The folk who threw them in there are already dead, but something amazing has already happened. They're still alive. Now, they are on their knees in the midst of a burning. Somebody say burning.
Burning.
The fire is doing what it does. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, he should have talked with them before he did this thing he did. But he said, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men.
Ooh.
loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They're inbound. So while they're bound, they decide to call upon the Lord. They call up on the Lord on their knees, bound on